Good morning, everyone. It's a Friday morning, and we are wrapping up our morning sessions on this day and kind of gathering all the thoughts God has given us through these morning times together. Thank you for stopping by. Thank you for taking time to tune in and join our journey together. Amen. Friday is a good day to remember what we've done this week. If you're not a journal person or a note taker, I would suggest you do. Take a notebook or a journal and write your thoughts in it. Because if you don't, you begin to forget what the Lord has said, perhaps what you've thought about or accomplished through the week. You can look back and see a pattern of leading, revelation, inspiration, mistakes that you don't want to do again. I've done it for a long time, and it's been a blessing to me to go back and see what the progress of some of my thought patterns and my understanding of God. And also on the natural side, the normal side of life with busy lifestyles, now with grandchildren, with our children earlier on. When did this happen? How did it happen? It's good to take notes. I'm glad, beyond glad, that the New Testament boys and girls wrote down notes, aren't you? We wouldn't have the gospel. We wouldn't have the history of the church. We wouldn't understand the saints of old that have come and gone and still speak to us through the printed page. So I encourage you, if you haven't started taking notes for your inner encounters with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, do so. It's a good practice. So today I want to refresh our thoughts on the book of Hebrews 6. We've spent quite a bit of time in that. And then I'm asking the question or proposing the challenge out of Philippians 4 and 8 on thinking on these things. I ask the question, is it good? A good idea, a God idea, or is it mind control? Did God say, think on these things because I want you to be brainwashed to where all you can do is, jump when I snap my fingers? You have no thought patterns of your own. You have no choices. No. In a simple answer, no. However, if we don't understand that God is a loving Father and that He does everything for the benefit of the good that He has proposed in us, Scripture says every good and perfect thing comes from the Father above, where there is no shadow of turning, there's no wavering in His desire toward His people. And then you go to the book of Romans 8 and you see where the love of God never shifts, never changes. Come hell or high water, that'd be the short version of that verse, where He said, things present, things to come, all the elements of the world that would fight and work against you. Come hell or high water, God will never stop loving you. So, when we go into situations then that look like storms and bad days and trials, we wonder if the outcome is going to be good. Let's keep our confidence in the fact, foundational, never change. God will never desert me. God will never change His opinion about me. He loves me. So if that's the case, then I can have courage that he's going to bring me through. Well, the reference that we started off with in Hebrews in the first of the week, dealing with leaving the elementary principles, the established principles that were there, that we did in the Old Testament. We did sacrifice. We repeated ourselves about sin. Every year we had to come back and be atoned again. Every year we had to come back to the priest and have the blood spread again. Then it goes down into the verse where it talks about if we keep bringing this back again and again in the New Testament, with Jesus going back on the cross, every time we come back and repent, in the sense of salvation. Now, I'm certainly not opposed or not discounting the fact that I need to say, Lord, I repent of that thought, action, process, whatever I messed up in. I just submit myself again and I repent. Now, repent means to come back to the original spot you were in when God started all your journey, which is the penthouse, back to the top, back to the starting point, in the sense of I am received, I am accepted, I am loved, I am forgiven, I am righteous, I am a son of God, I am eternally alive in God. That's what repentance does. Repentance is not just, oh, I'm just a worm. I'm just did it again. I'm such a jerk. I guess I'll just go back to the back of the line and eat crow or eat dirt, whatever's better today. Okay, so now, if that be the case, that we can't just be repeating ourselves, then the question was asked, and the challenge is here. Let us go on into perfection. We spent quite a bit of time on that, a couple of days. Perfection meaning maturity. So, catching that, if you haven't gone back in, if you weren't with us on those broadcasts, they're in the archives. You can find them there on YouTube or Facebook. Okay, so then, if that be the case, you and I need to think on these things. Philippians 4:8. The Amplified says in 4:8, it says, fix your minds on them. Now, why? Because as you think in your heart, so are you. As you think in your heart, that's the outcome of your life. As a man thinks, as a person, a man or a woman, thinks in their heart, not just your brain so much, but that thing that comes out of your heart, when panic comes, when emergency comes, when sudden surprise comes, what comes out of your heart, your mouth? What is it that you say, oh my God, we're all going to die? Or, oh my God, I know you are faithful. You see, that's what we put into our heart. That's why we eat the word and digest the word and meditate upon the word. Now, let me say this, if you haven't been around me much, that the word is not just the paper and ink in the book. The word is what the paper and ink in the book say to you. As you meditate upon it, that book becomes alive. That Bible becomes alive. That paper and ink is not just substance anymore. It's living voice, and you can feel and receive the breath of God right out of John 3:16. It's not just memorization. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. No, it's life, and the Spirit of God comes through the Word of God. Now, that's what we meditate upon. We meditate upon the revelation. We meditate upon the understanding. Well, the scripture says that if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin. So this is a walk process. So when I came to Christ, now my example of coming to Christ is different than yours. I didn't come out of prison. I wasn't a gang member. I didn't have a long history of dark deeds and actions behind me. So when I talk about coming to Christ, I was seven. didn't have a long track record of bad deeds, but I needed to be converted. I needed to have a commission, a submission to Christ, didn't I? Same thing. You may have had a track record that was scary. Well, so what? That is buried and done. Some of the residue in your soul life certainly needs to be overhauled, because God is a repairer of the breach, scriptural term. A repairer of the breach means he goes back into that broken spot, that a breach is like a break in the wall. If it was a dike along the river, we have one in our town, and there's a break in the breach, it means the river's going to come in and flood and mess you up. Well, God goes back and repairs the breach. Sin and rebellion and stupidity, which we do when we don't know. The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. That's in plain terms, because you're stupid. I'm sorry. Because you are ill-informed. Is that better? For the morning? Okay. So the breach then, it breaks something in my life, but he goes back and repairs that when we come to a place in Christ that we begin to understand and catch a hold of this truth that he's given us. So think on these things means then that I'm doing what the scripture says I need. It's the washing of the water of the word that washes my mind, brings my mind into obedience to truth. Amen. So we leave the things behind that we did in the former days. Now, you and I were not early Israelites, where we were at one point sacrificing sheep, and then the next day we realized Jesus had died on the cross and we've come to Christ. So we're not of those who sacrifice sheep, but we can try in our do-it-yourself mentality to perfect ourselves through good works. We may try to perfect ourselves through, going to church a lot, or paying tithe, or giving to the poor. All those things are like going back to the former works of the flesh. So we don't do that, but we come to Christ by faith, and then we go on into perfection, maturity, the advancing into the growth that God has for us. Well, that's what the end goal, the target that God has for us is, that you and I would grow up and become what the Bible would term sons and daughters, children of the Most High God. What does that mean? Well, we've got some wonderful, unbelievable in the sense of the human mind, the natural thinking. What did Paul say? Exceedingly beyond what you can ask or think. Well, I've got a pretty good thinker, and I've got a pretty good asker. That's not a real word. I just made it up. So if I can stretch out as far as I can go in my imagination, then God's got things beyond that. So is my journey just filled with curiosity and, wonder and intrigue, and I get to entertain myself one more time, and I have this fantasy lifestyle where I'm just dreaming up and thinking all kinds of wonderful and weird things and then being amazed so I can be happy? No. There's a plan that you are a part of, and you are integral to God's plan. He placed you where you are. He placed you in the time you are. He placed you exactly in the pattern. So, how do I fulfill that? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might, all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Two commands. It's all we got. It's all we need. When you do that, then the relationship of the Father becomes paramount. It's the only thing that counts, is the relationship we have with the Father. And that means face-to-face time. We call it prayer time, meditation time. We talk about revelation. We talk about going to heaven in the spirit, our spirit going to heaven and being with the Father at the throne and all those precious, wonderful things. But the end result is simply fellowship with the Father. There's nothing greater in life. Now, the byproduct of that is preaching and winning souls and feeding the poor and going to the mission field and having the gifts of the Spirit and prophesying. But if you don't have a relationship with the Father, all of that is just works. It's just grabbing something off the shelf, you know, going into the goodie store and getting some goodies and then running out and using them. But you don't know the guy, the God who owns the goodie store. Fellowship with the Father is the end result, is the beginning and the end of everything we do. Amen. Well, I'm always thrilled to be with you again. We did a live broadcast this morning because of my schedule, and it worked out for me. So I'm glad you tuned in and been a part of it. And I am continuing to be amazed at what God is doing in our life and in the life of people that are letting me know that you're out there. Let me know that, by the way. If you're watching, send me a note, send me a little heads up or a thumbs up, and subscribe if you haven't done it. And some of you have been nudged by the Lord to send a gift, a donation, an offering, and it's a great blessing to us. It helps us continue to do what we're doing. You can do that through the show notes right below. Amen. Now, don't forget Sunday night. We tune in again live at 6 o'clock on Sunday night with a time together. And then we jump back into our busy week with talking about the good things of the Lord. Amen. Bless your weekend. Thank you for being part of my life. And thank you for being part of the journey we're on. And I look forward to seeing you in person or in the spirit. God bless you.